Good morning, church. How you like that? God's grace upon grace upon grace. Every single time. As you can see from the song, you already know what today's topic is about. It's about invitation. It's about God is welcoming and God is pouring out everything. All the grace that is going to be given to you. And as we come to the close of the final of chapter 1 of John, of the gospel, I think by now you should know the whole theme of the gospel of John is to so that you know who is the Christ and who is the Son of God, and when you believe in Jesus' name, you'll be saved. So far, what we have gone through from verse, the very last part, as I read today's scripture, the 16 verses of scripture, it gives me an impression of that excitement, another crescendo, another highlight, where I'm being pushed to the end, come and see, quick. That kind of impression. You see why? Because when we first started on first night with the first putting John the Baptist, the first witness to the stand, he gave a message. If you read carefully between 19 and 37, it's actually a message. The message is simple. It spent over 3 days. All right. Last week, we talked about 2 days. But today, we add in another day to let you see the full picture of that of John's message. Maybe next time, if we have an event, something, this is something that I can preach on. But anyway, the message is this. Day one, he said, Jesus is here. Jesus is the Son of God who became flesh and live among us. And he's already among us. We don't know him. But then day two, he said, look, Jesus, the anointed Lamb of God, is here to take away the sin of the world. All right, that's the critical part. That is the part, the Savior that we're looking for. And then day three, he come and said, look, you follow him. The Lamb of God, he's the one that you need to follow. That's what we're going to get to see, the calling of the first two disciples. And then on day three, and then you from, and then it spent another two more days. Day three and day four. These 2 days was focusing on calling the disciples. On day three, there was a calling of two mysterious men. And we found it on verse 40 that it was one of them was Andrew. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. And then the other mystery man, somehow it was never been found within this by the end of chapter 1. It was remain a mystery man. Remember I told you way back when we were beginning this project? The author, the writer of Gospel of John, would like to keep himself anonymous. He would like to have nickname. He loved to nickname himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Don't you like that nickname? I love that nickname. I would like to nickname don't call me Jimmy, just call me the disciple whom Jesus loved. It's excellent. So that mystery man, and then within the same day, Simon Peter was called. And then on day four, he went on to call Philip and then call on Nathanael. Now, the whole calling here of a disciple, I want you to focus on Nathanael. All right, we're going to still run through. That's why you get the feeling of it was pushing here. Quick. Come and see. Come and see how Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, is calling his disciple. And through that, there's revelation going through that. So that's what he's trying to say. Nathanael, why I said focus on Nathanael. Nathanael, out of the 16 verses today, there was more than one third, 7 verses out of 16 verses, describe about his calling. That brings attention to me. All right, why so much on him? So we're going to talk about that later. Now we get into the scripture. The scripture comes to the next day, the very first thing. That is the third day. The third day of calling the disciple. So you realize from the scripture, the two disciples from John. This John is not the Apostle John. It's not the author. He is John the Baptist. So by that time, John the Baptist has his own disciple, his own followers. People are following him around, got baptized by him, and see, want to listen to his teaching, his preaching, and help him out. All right? So when he got there, on the third day, he pointed. The moment he saw Jesus coming, he didn't talk to Jesus. He didn't say anything. He said, look, the Lamb of God. And that's it. On the second day, he said that. And the third day, he said that again. And the two disciples just somehow, it's weird to me, when someone point, look, the Lamb of God, what do you do? What do you do? We will do nothing. But for these two disciples, somehow, probably they had some conversation with John the Baptist. Probably there's some discussion being, it was not recorded here. But these disciples somehow, they followed Jesus on that day. Just like this. And then, what happened was, Jesus did something really ridiculous out of our mind. Someone's following him. Two persons was following him. He turned around and said, what do you want? Don't you like that? Have you ever come across people ask you, what do you want? When Jesus turned around, he was not nothing like us. I don't believe he's anything like us. Where we will turn around, what do you want? We feel very hostile. All right? But what Jesus did here was turning around, asking them, what do you want? Actually asking, what are you looking for? What do you need? Isn't this what we need today? What do you need, church? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Jesus said in Mark 2, he said that, look, only the sick need a doctor. So unless you realize there's something wrong with you, unless you realize there's a need in you, you will not bother to look for things that will find resolution to your problem. Right? Just like as Jesus illustrated, unless you are sick, you will not look for a doctor. Unless you realize that you are a sinner that needs saving, you will not bother to look for a savior. So Jesus turned around and asked, what do you want? And the disciples of John the Baptist said, Rabbi means teacher. Now, the rabbi here, from what I understand, to be a rabbi, it takes 25 years of training. For them to hear and heard it twice from John the Baptist and say, look, the Lamb of God, they quickly follow and call him Rabbi. That makes something. They really see something. I don't know what they see. There's not much record here. It was just a simple, really rush through the five witnesses, the five disciples, going through what they've been through. And the first thing was, what do you want? Rabbi, where are you staying? Teacher, where are you staying? Where do you live? Now, this is nothing like, it's not nosy, it's not busybody. Or say, I just want to see what this Lamb of God looked like and where he lived. No. Now, this is a kind of expression from the Jewish custom. Where do you live? Where do you stay? Where are you staying? Meaning that, look, we want to follow you. We want to see how you live, how you teach. Tell us everything about you. That's what it means through that expression. All right? So Jesus say, okay, if that's what you want, come and see. Come and see. It's a simple word. You come and investigate. I allow you to do that. Church, this is why we are here today. We are not here to convert people. We are here to deliver a message. We are here to deliver the truth of Jesus Christ. We church is around not because we are here with a set of rules to convert you, to pin you down, to force you to become like us. We are here to show you, tell you a message, and you decide how you follow Jesus. So this is where are you staying? I want to live like you. I want to learn like you. Please remember, we come to church to be like Jesus, not be like church. All right, we're not here to convert one another to become one another. No, we are here to live the life of Jesus at our own pace, in our own space, in our own area. That's a very intimate relationship, that how you honor Jesus. And then the significant thing that is stated here in the same verse was like they spend up to the whole day with Jesus. And it's a 10th hour. This is the Jewish calculation of the time. At 10 hours means 4 p.m. in the afternoon. To them, the day is over. 4 p.m., day is over. So what happened is you spend the whole day with Jesus, looking at Jesus, talking at Jesus, spending time face to face with the Son of God. How would you feel if you are in their position with these two mystery men? You feel excited, isn't it? Now, within that time, you must have fellowship. You must have asked a lot of questions. If I were you, I would ask the question, who are you? Can you prove yourself? Can you prove to me that you are the Son of God? Probably that kind of conversation actually comes up within that thing. Why do I say that? Why this is so important? Because this giveaway gives us a hint of who the mystery man was. It was John. Because unless he was an eyewitness, he wouldn't bother stating the time. So he was giving sort of hinting to his audience and say, look, I was an eyewitness. So the other person was, that we can see, was Andrew. So one mystery man was done, and the other mystery man has to be John. He has to be the eyewitness. Because it was written about Andrew here, then it has to be the other one. But anyway, when you come to here, we see something. We see Andrew was mentioned here. He was the Simon Peter's brother. All right, he was Peter's brother. That means they are two brothers. All right, and then one of the two was mentioned here. And the very first thing that he did was he went to his brother and said, we have found Messiah. Now this reminds me of way back, as if I calculate, if I'm not wrong, it's about 23 years ago when I came to Christ. When I came to Christ, all I wanted to do was call my mom. I call my sis. I call my friend, my best friend. And the only thing I said, I don't know what to say. I was not trained. I'd never been to a church. I never read my Bible. So what did I do? I said, hey, mom, I believe in Jesus. And that's all I say. And she hung up the phone on that night. It took her 2 weeks to recuperate and come back to me and finally say, oh, I'm happy for you. Do you get that joy? When you finally learn, Andrew spent that whole night, whole day with Jesus. They must be spoken about something that convinced him he has found the Christ, the Savior. Something very personal. It was not discussed here, but it's clear cut. He found Christ. Jesus tell him, come and see. I'll tell you who I am. That brought Jesus. When they brought Simon to Peter, there's nothing mentioned of what Simon says. Simon said nothing. He keeps his mouth shut. And Jesus said something really significant. He said, you will be called Cephas. Cephas, that's the rock. That means that is the rock in Aramaic. Now, I just want to briefly tell you, Peter has many names. He got Peter, Simon, and Cephas. Cephas is Aramaic. Peter is Petros in Greek. And Simon is Hebrew. Why Jesus call him? He already got two, the Greek name and the Hebrew name. Why Jesus give an Aramaic name? Now this comes to later on. It happens in Acts. When you read your Bible, you will know. Jesus later on call him that the heavens, the key of heaven has been passed on to you. And with you, with this key, no door can lock. So what he meant was that the gospel door will be opened through Peter. Peter become the representative of all the Jesus disciples. And he opens that. And when you read Acts, you see that this thing was fulfilled later on. All right? That's why he was an apostle called for the Jew and the Gentiles to open the doors, the gospel door to all, at least to the Jew, to the Greek, and to the Aramaic. That's why he's given the name. And he called him. And they follow. And the next day four now, quickly we come to day four. Now this day four, they find Philip. Again, there's nothing being told, nothing being said about Philip. And he said, you follow me. How weird is that? There must be something. What's the catch? Now, on verse 44, it says that Philip, like Andrew and Peter, were from the same old town. Now from what I can see, they're probably grown up together. They probably know each other because it's a small place. All right? So this is where the location is. They are at Bethany. They follow Jesus. And Jesus decided to go to Galilee. All right? And going to Galilee, and they are reading at the far end of the Galilee Sea of Galilee, Bethsaida. We will see one of the miracles that's going to happen in John as well about Bethsaida. But anyway, I just want to see you. Remember Nazareth and Cana. All right? So when he met with this Philip, he said nothing about it. But all we know is that they came from the same place. That means they might be spent their childhood, they learned together, they went to Bethany to get baptized together, probably. And then they probably it was peer pressure at first for Philip to be called to follow. They just followed because they saw my pal is following Jesus, so let's follow. But one thing, something changed, something transformed in the course of doing all this. Now let me briefly say something about Nazareth and Cana. Later on, we're going to see that Philip is going to find Nathanael. Nathanael came from the town Cana. And that was where Jesus is heading to for his first miracle. And Nazareth is where Jesus was born. And this is later on, he's going to comment on this. So we see from the scripture, Philip found Nathanael. And what he said was that, he said, hey, we found one that Moses wrote about in the law and the prophet. Now, we discussed this before. This was, once you brought this up, Moses' law and the prophet was talking about, they were talking about the Messiah. So it was referring to this Messiah. Hey, I found it. Wow. There's nothing to say about how he was convinced into that. Can you imagine? Between the time that he was called to follow him to the time he met Nathanael, what sort of inspiration he received? He must have received something from Andrew, from John, from Peter, the discussion. They keep asking questions while Jesus was talking. I'd be frustrated if someone keep on pestering me. Are we from where you guys? I believe these people must have, as they were walking, they must have a lot of deep conversation that caused Philip to say, make a comment like this. We have found the Messiah, Jesus. He is Jesus, the son of Joseph, who is from the Nazareth. And what was Nathanael's response? Can anything good come from it? Who is son of Joseph? Who is Joseph anyway? What is Nazareth? It's just a small town out from nowhere. As you can see from the map, it was nowhere. It was probably a country area whereby, you know, a lot of uneducated people, a lot of people in labor. Now, by the way, Paul actually persecuted Jesus because of this. Why? Because he felt that Jesus was just how can you call him the son of God? Because he's just an uneducated people from Nazareth. So that's why they despise Nazareth. They despise anyone from Nazareth, from Galilee, actually. Yeah, but that's not true. Because when you look at the Bible, there's a lot of great prophets that actually were originated from Galilee. All right? Even Jonah, who got swallowed by the big fish, the story about him leave after 3 days, he came from Galilee. So that's not true. They despise him somehow. But Philip was very smart. Philip didn't argue with him. You can say whatever you want to say. I think he was a very quick learner. This is what Jesus said exactly. Come and see. Instead of getting into an argument when you share gospel with people or your friends, how many of you got that? Don't. Just invite them. Hey, why don't you come to church with me on Sunday? That's it. No argument. I remember the last time when I invited my hairdresser. That was like a few weeks ago. As you can see, my hair is going to get longer and longer. I got nowhere to cut. I just offer him, as he cut my hair after the conversation, I say, hey, after this lockdown, you're jobless. You got nothing to do. What do you do on Sunday? I do nothing. Why don't you come online and watch me preach? I just tell him, come and see. I just invited him. A casual talk, no argument. He said, oh, maybe. Yep, sure. I'll give you the link. If you want to come. Remember what I said earlier? We are not here to make conversion. We are not here to convert people to become like us. We are here to pass a message. So what I did was simply passing a message. Come and see. I do not need to get into theology. I need to get into scripture with you. I do not need to quote any Bible. I just need to be myself and tell people, I follow Jesus. I have the life of Jesus in me. That's Philip. Now, Jesus, now we come to the highlight. All right, for the last verse, we're going to compact it. I hope that I can make it. Jesus saw Nathanael. And he says something. He said, he is true Israelite, in whom there is nothing false. Now, to simplify for you, it simply says that you are a person that is finding favor in God. True Israelite, Israelite are people who find favor in God, who pursue God, who is not a hypocrite. All right. How many hypocrites in our life have you ever met? I met a lot of hypocrites in my life. All right. And you see people that they look pretty well, but inside them they are so evil in their heart. This is not when Jesus first saw him. He gave him a commendation. Said, "You are here is the true Israelite." Wow, he's a very top of the head for Nathaniel, isn't it? But Nathaniel, no. Remember what he said? What good come out from Nazareth? And what he said, he was very hostile. He would say, how do you know me? What do you know? You know, he mocked Jesus when Jesus asked him. So Jesus said, look, before Philip called you, I saw you. You were under the fig tree. So what happened to this was, as they were traveling to Galilee, all right, Philip saw Nathanael, but Jesus saw him too. But Jesus was just looking at him far away at the fig tree. But Philip went to call him and grab him to come at Jesus. So Jesus saw him on the fig tree. What is so special about that fig tree, with him under that fig tree, that would allow Jesus to commend him as the true Israelite? Why? Because the background of this was that it was tradition, whereby the Jewish who want to find favor in God, who want to pursue God, they would find time. They would dedicate a lot of time under a fig tree to pray and ask for the coming of the Messiah and prepare themselves for the Messiah to come. So that's what Jesus knows. Jesus look at him. You know, or you might say, he might be just want to get into the shade, you know. But into the shade, you can get to a better tree than a fig tree. But Jesus knew. Remember, he is the Son of God. He knew. He know what is in people's heart. What is in his heart. He's a pursuer. So that's why he spent so much time. John spent so much time talking about Nathanael about this. And it's just fantastic when the moment when Jesus proclaimed that, said, look, you are the truth. It's like, I saw you. I know you. I know who you are. I know how you find favor in God. Straight away, Nathanael, the Bible says he declared. He didn't just say. He declared, Rabbi, again, teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Now, Rabbi, I understand. If you call it King of Israel, I understand. But Son of God for a Jew, unless you really believe, otherwise you will not call someone Son of God. And Jesus, what did Jesus say? You believe? Because of your belief, because of you really believe, you shall see greater things. What are the greater things? What are the greater things? The signs and wonders, the resurrection, the death, the crucifixion. You will see greater things. And these greater things is that you're going to come along with me, come and see. You're going to come along and watch me do, and you're going to see with your own eyes. On miracles after miracles, that's what it meant early on. Grace after grace after grace. And the final thing is that Jesus said that these greater things are what? That you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending, descending on the Son of God. Church, we have here Jesus' first sentence in the Gospel of John. What do you need? What do you want? And we have here Jesus' first time declare that he's the Son of Man to relate him to Nathanael to the world. So the very significant thing about this was that Jesus was echoing the story of the Old Testament, the Jacob's letter, that happened to Jacob. Jacob was someone, was the son of Isaac, was a grandson of Abraham. So what happened was that Jacob, on that night, he was on his way to look for a wife for himself. And he was tired, and at night, so he looked for a place to sleep. He just lie on the floor with a stone. And then he had a dream. In that dream, he dreamed of a staircase that is resting on earth and reaching to the heaven. And with angels of God going up and down, connecting the earth and the heaven. And allowing him to see that God has come to earth, wanting to connect. And Jacob was there. And God handed him something very significant, which is the Abrahamic covenant, which is a reassurance and reconfirmation of the Abrahamic covenant. You know what is the Abrahamic covenant? That is that you are blessed to be a blessing. When God said, you make my name known, and I'll make your nation great. If you want to be great again, if you want your nation to be great again, you got to believe in Jesus, man. So this is God handed Jacob the same exact Abrahamic covenant, saying that, look, I will bless you. I will continue to bless you from now on and bless you so that you are so great that you can have the capacity to bless many more nations to come. That's the reason why he blessed him. That's a covenant, all right? And then the other thing is that the other thing that God handed to him was the promise that if you do this well, if you participate in all the accomplishing this blessing to be a blessing well, I will be with you. Sounds familiar? Matthew 28, all the power, authority has been given from heaven and earth has been given to me. So you go and make disciples of all nations and I'll be with you till the end of time. Abrahamic covenant. So John actually put the whole Abrahamic covenant here. At the very end of chapter 1, before he came, go into that. Why did he do that? Because he wants you to know, you come and see, this is what you see. You come and see, you're going to see greater things in Jesus. You're going to see that you're going to be blessed to be a blessing and through the Son of Man for what he has done. Read this blessing. You're going to fulfill. God is going to be with you to the end of time when you continue to be a blessing. In conclusion, church, we discover there are 7 titles that was given in just this short paragraph, this short 16 verses. 7 titles was given to Jesus to prove who he is. That's why I say it's keep on pam, 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 pam. Come and see, come and see, come and see. There's a sense of urgency here because you're getting so excited right now. You just want people to get a sense of it. Look, we got testimony after testimony. 5 people coming up straight away and tell you that he's the Son of God, he's the Lamb of God, he's the Rabbi, he's the Messiah, he's Jesus of Nazareth. What is all these 7 titles going to do? Look, this is going to set a stage for later on, for the next 21 chapter, maybe from chapter 2 to 12, you will see that John somehow has a thing with 7. He designed his book in such a way that later on he's prepared right now with this 7 title that I tell you there are 7 signs coming. There are 7 Jesus eyes claiming I am coming. And there's 7 I am story coming along. So there are 7 to allow us to see what a perfect God. And the nutshell of this is the whole thing that I want you to take away today. And then with these 7 titles, it tells us something very critical, self-significant to our salvation. The fully man Jesus from Nazareth is the Messianic King and teacher of Israel and the Son of God who will die for our sin, if you believe. So church, what can we learn from all these things besides Jesus being our Savior? This is a very important thing. You probably learned a lot. But one thing, in terms of ministry, why? People who have not come to Jesus, come and see. Find for yourself. You have to come and find for yourself. Don't hear from me. Whatever I say to you, I'm just passing a message. You got to find it for yourself. But for people who are following Jesus, these are the few applications I would like you to have. What is come and see? Come and see is a ministry of welcoming. Do you really understand what is the meaning of welcoming? Sometimes we welcome people, but we don't really welcome people. What I mean by welcoming, you must have a component of this action below. First of all, you have to believing. Believing means you're followers. You're a follower of Jesus Christ. You do whatever you need to keep uphold your faith with Jesus, your relationship with Jesus. That is the first criteria, I believe, that as you want to get into this ministry. All right? I hope that you do. And you have to be acceptant with wholeheartedly, genuine heart. You accept people not because of agendas. All right? And you have to be willing to go. My experience is before you want to go, then you find that people are welcome. I get it so many times. The moment I pray and say, God, allow me to go. I want to find out, seek out these certain people or certain people group. I want to pray for these people group. People, God just sent these people to my community and inviting. When's the last time you invite people to come to church? Now we are locked down. But when's the last time you send someone a link and inviting people to come and watch our live stream? Is there something you can do? Or maybe I tell you what, quickly send a link or send a password. We have a prayer walk later on. Come and see. And see what Jesus do. This is the final of chapter 1. Next week we have Father's Day. I encourage you to come and see. I've been working on a mini project for the past 6 weeks. When I arrived, I started a mini project because of you. Because I want all of us to honor our Father, especially our Heavenly Father. So please come and see. Invite your Father. Invite your friends to come and see. Send them a link. Simple as that. You don't need to get out of the door. All right? And then the following week, we will carry on with the Gospel of John. But this time, then, I'll take a break. And I'll allow Sue DePaul, she will come and share with us her finding of the first miracle, which is the first sign at the hometown of Nathanael. It fits in just nicely. So as we close off today, let me pray, and then we get on to the song, on the last song, which is Reckless Love. And I find it very nice, very touching to me, and it's very relevant to what God has done for us. Let me pray for you. Our Father, we just thank you so much for all this opportunity to come and see, to come and be able to see how you perform miracles and signs to allow us to be sure that you are the God, true living God that we can follow. Father, I just ask that you will open up the way for us and allow us to see carefully and with a welcoming heart, and allow people and continue to be a way maker for others so that they can welcome you into their life as well. And I thank you, and I ask for your blessings for the rest of our week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.